This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I share with you amazing stories of my guests. We are in the month of March still, and we're celebrating the wine industry. Today, I'm looking very much forward to our conversation, and I know that everyone is going to enjoy this talk as well. I have an exceptionally beautiful CEO of Armas Winery, all the way from Armenia. Welcome, Victoria. How are you?
Thank you so much, Anush, for that amazing introduction. I'm very well. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm very much looking forward. We have spoken, and I have shared your story on my other platforms, but I'm really looking forward to share with the listeners on SoCal Armenian the wonderful and inspirational story of how the winery was established in Armenia, how it came all about. There's lots to talk about, and we can just start from the beginning. Where is the winery located?
Absolutely. So it's previously in the middle of nowhere, and I say this because it's 180 hectare, which is 450 acre parcel of land, which was not accessible by any roads. There was no irrigation, no drinking water, no roads, no electricity, absolutely no infrastructure whatsoever in Armenia, in the Aragazotan province, in Norye Desya village, which is about 40 kilometers northwest of the capital Yerevan. And my father in 2007 chose that particular parcel of land. Actually, he kind of cut and paste a few parcels of land to get this huge, huge area to develop because it was the absolute best terroir. And for those people who are a little bit more familiar with wine, they know that the French word terroir basically describes the climatic conditions ideal for the growing of grapes. So this includes, well, Armenia, first and foremost, is located on the 45th parallel on the globe. And it's considered the magic of the 45th parallel because the sun rays hit the vines at a 90 degree angle. So France, Armenia, Napa Valley, Chile down below are all near the 45th parallel. But specifically to that region that my father chose, you know, elevation, hot summers, cold winters, during the warm summers, cool summer nights, but warm days. So this difference in temperature, the more drastic it is, the better it is for the mature grapes. Water, of course, and soil, most importantly, soil. So that area specifically has volcanic soil, very, very rich in minerals. It's very difficult to cultivate, but it's the most rewarding. I always make the comparison between diamonds, you know. It requires a lot of time and pressure, but it yields the most beautiful results. So grapes, in that sense, are very much like diamonds. And coming from that soil, being birthed from that soil, they give the most rewarding wines or brandy, which we also produce, but just these fine, fine grapes. So that's why it was chosen. The other reason why it was chosen specifically was because of its proximity to the city. So my father always had this vision to create something that's modeled on Napa Valley. We wanted to have a grandiose estate where people could come, see the vineyards, the winery, enjoy the tasting room, have lots of events, basically have them make a connection with the land. But also when people visit and they see with their own eyes the quality of the vineyards and the exceptional quality of the winery and just how much love and also science, you know, is involved in creating fine wine, it really builds trust within the consumer. And then as an added bonus, when you spend time there and you create a memory, you want to go back home and have that bottle on your table, you know, and say, I've been there, I've seen this winery, or I've met the winemaker or the family. And so it creates market demand. So we did that as soon as we had, more or less as soon as we had our very first wine. So imagine in 2007, this completely rock-strewn land was purchased and immediately cultivation began. And then in 2008, most of the vines, more than 400,000 vines were planted. And then in 2012, mm-hmm. that's when we finally had our very first vintage. But even then, mm-hmm. we opened our first bottle of wine, December 2013. So basically 2014 is really when we entered the market. So just 7 years after we initially started. And, you know, concurrently, we always have construction going on to this day. We're always developing and growing. But once we had the wines and then the tasting room, we started doing events and tours. You know, we have many yearly events. Of course, COVID kind of.
There's so much to talk about. I wanted to take you a little bit back with the story. And you said that, you know, your dad always wanted to do this after modeling, after seeing in Napa Valley. How did your mm-hmm. dad decide to go into a wine business? Was it a wine experience that he had? Was it always that he wanted to go? Because, I mean, there's so many industries and you can go into any industry, but why did he choose to go into wine?
Why did he?
You know, and then spend all that
time. Yeah, exactly. It's especially, you know, I mean, if we were doing this France, it would be a completely different story because people know French wine. Very few people until recently know that, first of all, where Armenia is, and then that Armenia has this very, very rich, rich history, not only in viticulture, which is grape growing, but also in winemaking. So we have the biblical legend, Mount Ararat in Genesis 9:20, Noah plants the first vines in modern-day Armenia. We also have archaeological and biological facts that speak to this, like carbon-dated the world's oldest winery, which is in Armenia, it's Alani Cave Complex. Remnants of grape seeds that proves the wild grape and the Vitis vinifera, or the common wine grape, all originated in that area. And we used to be very active on the Silk Route. I mean, Greek historians like Herodotus, Strabo, Xenophon have spoken very much of our very rich wine trade. So when my father decided, you know, that he wants to invest in something big, something for his country, something for his children, his grandchildren, and something that's going to be, you know, very long-lasting, and also help revitalize an industry which mm-hmm. has been this hidden gem in our country. So he chose that. But there's also a little bit of a personal connection aside from, okay, let's do that because we have all of this history and we've been God-given, you know, we've been blessed with this idyllic terroir of the vine. We have these amazing native grape varieties. And with modern know-how, we can create fantastic wines that appeal to the international palate. But on the personal note, so his grandfather, my great-grandfather, was the original winemaker in our family. Now, he was a village winemaker, very, very different capacity from what we do now. And it was a tradition that was lost in our family as well. So just as our country is having the renaissance of Armenian wine, our family is also having a revival of legacy of sorts. And
that's
Armas,
beautiful.
Which is our brand name, you know, Armas, is short for Armen Aslanian. So that's my great-grandfather's name, my father's name, and also part of my son's name. So that's, that's why.
Which part of Armenia was your great-grandfather, from, and where was he making wine? This is amazing. Okay.
Yeah, North Harbest, which is also just, you know, 20 minutes from the city. It's, I've spend a lot of time there in my childhood. You know, I was born in Armenia. I moved to the United States when I was 8. I have really lovely memories from that time, that place. I remember the grapes in our backyard, you know. And but he was the village winemaker. But my father also has really great memories of, I never had a chance to meet him, that he is my great-grandfather after all. But my father also has very warm and kind of anecdotal memories of him having these bags of cash. So this was a really good year of wine. And that must have made an impression on him, you know, as a child, because it's certainly not true as an adult, let me tell you. Because when you're investing in wine and when you want to do it right, I mean, there's a joke, you know, how do you become a millionaire if you go into the wine business? Well, you start off as a billionaire, you mm-hmm. know, or who is it that benefits most when a family starts a wine, goes into the wine business? the grandkids, you know?
Absolutely. So because there's
just, and especially, again, and I say state this again and again, especially because we did this in Armenia. We didn't do it in Napa Valley. We didn't do it in France or Italy. We didn't do it in any currently, you know, internationally recognized wine region. And so we created the market, continue to create the market. We didn't just, you know, suddenly produce something for which there was market demand. And that makes it all the more, and we're talking years, if not decades, you know, but hopefully no more than decades, but of decades of effort. So people have to know, they have to see, they have to trust. And then aside from people knowing, you know, what we're very, very happy about is that in Armenia in the past few years, there has been this huge, huge influx of quality wineries, you know. Every year there's several really high-quality wineries, boutique wineries.
And why is that?
Quality wine. Because people now are seeing the potential in it. You know, we started this so 14 years ago, and at which point there was, and I don't want to offend anyone, but really in the international, by international standards, there was no fine wine in Armenia. And these were traditions that we lost, particularly during the Soviet Union, because it was in that era that Armenia produces brandy and Georgia produces wine, right? Both countries previously part of the Soviet Union. So we excelled at brandy, and to this day, if I'm not mistaken, it's the only production that we have that we are actually, we have a world share as a percentage point in terms of production. So people know Armenian brandy, but especially in the former Soviet Union states, but very few people know Armenian wine. And then slowly, you know, we had one good one, and then two, and then three, and really it was in the first decade, you know, maybe five of us, if that, I would say even three. But the five of us who have been just, through our personal efforts, because we didn't get, well, I know we certainly didn't get government subsidies or anything like that, just through our vision and our love and our hope for our country and for this industry, you know, we gave it our all and we invested like ridiculous amounts of money where you have absolutely like no, I mean, you can't do this with a business plan because first of all, you deal with nature. It's like fighting with God. You know, he or she will always win. It's very uncertain. An unestablished, non-existent market, you know. So the end, just you also need time to make a good quality wine. Like we have wines that harvested in 2014, you know, our 2014 vintage, and we're just releasing them because there's barrel aging and then bottle aging. So there's so many factors involved. But slowly, you know, especially over the last 3 years, I would say, in the last 3 years, we had maybe 10, 15, if not certainly 20 in the past 5 years, little wineries pop up here and there. And they didn't do it, I'm sure the risk is much less because they didn't do it on such a grand scale immediately, which is very difficult to maintain. But the point being that you have all of these quality brands and slowly
that
people are getting
the
a
way.
Perception.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what is an Armenian wine? Like our native grape varieties, we can of course also do European. At Armas, we focus solely on native grape varieties because this is really how we want to establish ourselves on the viticultural map. You know, we want our native grape varieties to be known, like Pinot Noir, like Chardonnay, like Cabernet. And I'm often told, you know, I can't even pronounce Karmrajut or Voskehat or, you know, Khandogni or whatnot. And I always remind them, well, you weren't born saying Cabernet Sauvignon. You know, someone taught it. You learned it. But that teaching is on us. You know, the people invested in the industry and also the people who see this industry as a huge, huge value for the growth, both socially and economically for our country, which is certainly how we see it. Because the growth of this industry promotes so much of what our country needs, namely agricultural development, jobs for people in the rural areas, production, export, tourism, and cultural standards held high. But this isn't just something that, you know, we need for us. This is also something that we can share with the world. These very unique, very interesting, as we say in the wine world, native grape varieties that are produced to appeal to the international palate, and they stem from the historic world of wine. you know. And so Armenia really, really has the opportunity to have this industry and wine be its brand, you know. And so that's certainly what we're working towards, because we see that this is fully possible. And hosting thousands and thousands of people from all over the world, you know, who have visited the Armas estate, I see their surprise, their inspiration, their hope, their excitement of, you know, this discovery of what can be done from what, you know, literally in the middle of nowhere, what can be created. And wine, you know, just as I always, well, I compare for myself, I see a real similarity of the path that we have had as a family creating this, and also what wine really represents, you know, which is taking the best of your human abilities and taking the best that nature gives you and just creating an art form. And sometimes that creation is very, very laborious, but it's also something that you can share with the world. You can enjoy it for yourself. And it's so beautiful, you know. Every bottle is a story. Every year speaks of that time. And every time you open it, it's such a special personal interaction you have with that bottle, because no bottle is going to be the exact same, depending on when you open
Absolutely.
It, you know.
Absolutely. Victoria, we have a couple of minutes before we take a break. And when we come back from the break, I would love for you to share, you know, the varietals that you grow, and maybe a little bit the story, how you, all the efforts that you took to cultivate and develop and plant, because I know there's like a lot of funny stories too, and the rest. But I wanted to ask you, how did you said that you moved to United States. Why did you move back to Armenia?
So my father moved, as I mentioned, he moved back in 2007. In 2008, we went to visit, to christen my eldest boy, who was 8 months at the time, 13 years old now. So we went to Armenia to christen it. And to be honest, at that time, especially with the way that my father had described it to us over the phone, it was kind of like he had been in business suits and ties for 20 years, and suddenly he was in cowboy hats and anti-snake boots, you know, snake-resistant boots. And we thought he wants to plant some vines, and we're like, well, okay. You know, it was very strange, but we're like, that's having some fun. And then when I visited that summer, and I will never forget that first day that we went, and we were standing atop the highest point at the estate. So that's like over 1,300 meters above sea level, and overlooking straight ahead is, you know, these very just stunning vineyards, but also Mount Ararat, like facing right back at you. And it was just like, oh my God, Dad, like, what did you do? We had no idea it was something on that scale. And so we're like, you know, Dad, we should move back to Armenia to be with you, to help you, to participate in this. And he's like, yeah, when we do a winery and distillery. And I'm like, we're doing a winery and distillery? His initial plan was a distillery. He just wanted to do brandy, you know. And he said, and then I'll put a hotel here and I'll do. I'm like, it sounds like you kind of have a plan. And so then, you know, when I researched it a little bit, I'm like, Dad, did you know to make brandy, first you have to make wine, you have to make white wine, and then you distill it? He's like, no, but okay, like, we'll get to it. We were still in the planting phase at that point. And I'm like, okay, well, and I had been researching, and this was literally the same year it coincided when Aremi Cave Complex 1 was discovered in the Yerevan-Nador region in Armenia, the world's oldest winery, 6,100 years old, you know. And he said, why don't we use this, you know, to tell this story, because and make quality wine? And he goes, okay, if you want to do that, let's do that. Like, literally, that's how it started. That could be more on the wine. Yeah, and now the brandy is actually barrel aging as we speak. Next year, our brandy will be 10 years old. We haven't released it on the market yet. So we want our first brandy to be our 10-year brandy. But yeah, awesome. So just months later, literally months later, I moved back to Armenia, and, you know, the rest is history.
And the rest is history. All right, we have to pick up this conversation in a moment, so stay with us, guys.
Thank you.